Grace and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So as I did last week, this week again, we have a sheet in the where the sermon actually is with an outline with, or for sermon notes if you would like to fill that in. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now, something you may not be aware of or may not have been aware of before I started the service by saying it is that the fourth Sunday of Easter is also called Good Shepherd Sunday. And I hope you notice that as the theme in our gospel reading as well as our psalm today, where we rejoice that Jesus is the door of the sheep, right after our appointed reading in verse 11 is where Jesus further clarifies and says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The continuing on that theme, our psalm appointed for today, Psalm 23, is the Shepherd King's Shepherd Psalm, written by Shepherd David as he became the Shepherd King of Israel to lead Israel as a shepherd on behalf of the true shepherd, God. The Lord is my shepherd. And what comfort it is for us as we are now at the halfway mark of our celebration of the Lord's resurrection, a week of Sundays, seven Sundays, we are right in the middle here. What comfort it is to look back and remember what our Savior, our Lord, has done for us in laying down his life for his sheep and sheltering and comforting us as part of his flock. Now, for today, rather than focus on those readings, I want to take a slightly different approach to Good Shepherd Sunday than I have in previous years. So rather than John 10 or Psalm 23 with their focus on the shepherd, we're instead going to focus on our first reading from Acts chapter 2, which picks up right after last week's reading, also from Acts chapter 2. We're going to see what we can learn from the early church about what it means for us to be the sheep living in the sheepfold of the Good Shepherd. Now, as I said, this follows right on the heels of last week's lesson from Acts, in which Peter had preached to the crowd, telling them that, know this for certain, you have, this man is the Lord and Savior whom you yourselves have crucified. In so doing, the crowd had been cut to the heart and cried out, what then shall we do to be saved? Peter's response, repent and be baptized. And so 3,000 souls were that day added to the sheepfold to those who were being saved. 3,000 souls who were baptized within a day. And so then now we get to see, starting in verse 42, how those early Christians lived together as those who were being saved. Verse 42 lists four key activities of those who are living within the sheepfold of God, which also are important for us as God's sheep, as the sheep of his flock. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And so there are four activities here, which I want to break down a little bit as we go through. So first is the devotion to the apostles' teaching or scripture reading. The apostles' teaching would be the scripture reading, what the apostles had for us, what the apostles had first learned from Christ, and which they then pass on to us. This is why we have the list of daily scripture readings in the bulletin so that we can read through the Bible in a year. And if you've been following along in here, we're on 1 Kings and Matthew chapter 10, and Matthew. And so the apostles' teaching is how we learn what it is that God says to us, what it is that God has done for us in sending his son. The fellowship, the gathering together for worship, for Bible study, and so on. Being a Christian, it's about community. In the parable of the lost sheep, what is that sheep's problem? It's that it wandered off apart from all of the other sheep. Christians are best in community when we are in fellowship together, supporting one another. This fellowship and Bible study, it's something that happens both here at the church as well as in people's homes, like Pastor Hugerheide's Bible study in home on Thursday afternoons. The Bible study is, it's good to read scripture by ourselves. It is even more valuable when we can read scripture together and learn from one another. So the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread, both communing together at this altar, but also simply sharing meals together, is also a part of what it means to be part of God's flock. Now, we joke about Lutherans and potluck, but it's true. Someone asks what it takes to become a Lutheran. The answer is, first, you need to accept and believe what's taught in Luther's Small Catechism. Second is, you need to own a 9x13 casserole dish. Now, we joke like that, but it's true that that potlucks or eating together is a valuable part of being members of God's family, and because eating together is what we like to do with our family. Several years ago, I had a member, not here, who had told me that he and his wife just didn't really care much to come for the church potlucks. His wife is a really good cook, so why would he want to eat someone else's food instead of going home to eat what his wife made for dinner? Well, if you think that the reason we eat together is just purely for nourishment or purely because the food is better at a potluck than it is at home, then you are severely missing something. The reason that we eat together is to share life together, to gather together and learn together, and share the hopes and dreams, the difficulties, to live together. In fact, for a fellowship today, I'm going to ask you to do something that is unusual and you're probably going to hate me for. Sit at a different table with different people instead of sitting at the same table with all the same people. And so that way you get to know other people and get to hear how other people's week is going. You get to learn about someone else's life, and if you are so moved, you can even partake in that fourth activity of prayers, praying together and also praying for one another. As Christians, we pray for one another, praying for both the good and the bad. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We mourn with those who mourn, as Paul writes. And so what a blessing it is for us as fellow believers to be able to come together, to come to our good shepherd with all of our needs, with all of our struggles, with all of our joys, to thank him for what he has done, to ask him for his help in our need, to receive comfort from him. And in fact, that is one of the purposes of Stephen Ministry that we are starting here, is to pray together and support one another. Now, all of that kind of makes it sound like we need to go and join a group like the Amish, or go off and start a commune somewhere in the middle of the woods, in leaving the world behind and holding all of our things in common. As it says in verse 44, all who believed were together and had all things in common. But I'm not saying that we need to go off and start a commune somewhere. In fact, if that's what you get from this sermon, then please come and talk with me. We don't have to be communist to be Christian, just to get that out there. However, we do need to care for and support one another as we live together in this sheepfold. Believers don't lord it over one another if one drives a Ferrari and the other drives a beat-up old jalopy. Believers don't think of themselves more highly than others because we are all brothers and sisters in the flock of Jesus. No sheep are better than any other sheep. And so picture for a moment what this looks like to be part of this flock, to be living as God's people within his sheepfold, sharing life together, worshiping together, gathering at church and in homes to break bread or cookies or other treats over God's word, to pray for one another, whether it be praying at home for other people or gathering together to pray with one another, supporting one another when our lives are difficult, rejoicing together when life is going so well or when healing comes for sickness. If someone is struggling with money, the church can help out, whether collectively or individually. If a mother or father needs someone to watch their children for an hour or two after school, the older retired grandmother in the congregation can step up and offer to help. That is what it means to live in the sheepfold of our Lord. So then, who are these sheep, and what is it that makes them the sheep? Now, the sheep, we know, are God's people. At the time of Paul, there was a big divide between the Jews and the Gentiles. Not too long after after our reading from Acts, there's a dispute arises between the Jewish Christians who are from Galilee, Judea, and the Hellenistic Christians who are from Greece or Greek-speaking. And today, the big divide seems to come between those who are within and those who are without, whether that be within the church or within a specific congregation. If you've been a Lutheran for your whole life, if your family has been Lutheran longer than Luther was Lutheran, then you are one of God's sheep. But at the same time, if you haven't been Lutheran for more than 3 weeks, or if you haven't been Christian for more than 3 weeks, rejoice, you also are one of God's sheep. If you are even outside of the church, separate or different from those within the church in some way, that's okay. God welcomes you into his sheepfold also. All people are welcome in this sheepfold, not because of anything in them, but because of Christ, because of what God does for us, that by baptism, you are God's sheep. And so that makes us family. In Lifelight this week, one of the readings that we looked at was Mark chapter 3, where Jesus says, "Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." By faith, we are God's family, and that makes us family with each other. Remember, it is not what we do or any of that makes us sheep. It is the fact that we are sheep that affects how we live. Sheep are chosen through baptism, nourished by the Lord's Supper. They are sheep by virtue of who they are and whose they are, not what they do. And what all they do is they are simply sheep following after the Good Shepherd. And so the focus of the sheep is where the focus of the early church is in our reading on the Good Shepherd. That the Good Shepherd is the one whose voice they hear the one whom they follow. The focus isn't on the apostles or on pastors or church workers. It is on the Good Shepherd, on his message. That Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He is the one who calls and gathers who from all nations to make them part of his flock. And the sheep hear his voice, he says in John chapter 10. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And that's where our gospel reading can help us to understand who this good shepherd is. The good shepherd loves his sheep and tends them, and so the sheep trust and follow him. The good shepherd leads his sheep to good pasture. He comes to give life that they may have it abundantly. In the end, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, dying so that they, you and me, can live. So then, what does it mean for us to live in the sheepfold of the Lord? What does it mean for us to be his sheep? Nothing more or less than that we follow our good shepherd, that we hear his voice and receive his good gifts, that we have been brought together from all over, gathered into one flock with him as the head, that we live together in love for one another, a love that is not ours because we are so loving, but because we have been so loved. It means that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. They shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.